Oh, Brett. 34 degrees in Lynchburg, 35 in Bedford, 36 in Roanoke, 35 in Salem, and 36 in Danville.
Mm-hmm.
Just prepare. Put on your big girl britches and get ready for some snow. Learn to love it. It's so funny because my grandma used to say when I was little, Janet Lynn, you see that snow over there? It's waiting for more to come see it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have snow at the house, just lingering along the edges. Even after all this rain and everything, there's still snow.
Yeah.
I thought, well, that's where that saying came from. Pretty sure. So
yesterday, you know, couple hits on the old El Presidente. You got the Supreme Court, and then you got cinema coming out. The Supreme Court decided against, you know, the way they were trying to backdoor this whole mandate thing through OSHA. And then cinema and actually Joe Manchin yesterday both speaking out about the whole filibuster thing. But Joe, did you realize that they have a mock-up Oval Office across the street from the White House that Joe's been doing his little news things from? Because they say that they can put a lot bigger teleprompter in there so he can see what he's reading, because he only speaks from the prompt. You know, him and his.
I had not heard that.
Him and his old sidekick there, Obama, really didn't do good off the prompter either.
So there's a fake Oval Office?
Yeah, it's like a mini Oval Office, and it's a little desk. They had video of him coming in to this little desk. He looks so small because he is. Anyway, this is Biden yesterday at that little whatever desk, telling us how he's going to help us with Comicron.
Now, I don't like to outline the next steps we're taking against. I'd like to outline the next steps we're taking against the Omicron variant, and to help lead our federal testing program. I've tapped Dr. Tom. I hope I pronounce it Inglesby. Correct?
What?
Is that right, Jeff? Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, jeez.
Mr. President, can I have a message for vaccinated Americans who are wondering why they should continue to restrict their activities given that your health officials say most Americans will get COVID at some point?
Folks, we'll talk about that later. Come on.
Come on, let's go. This is Joe. we'll deal with that later. Come on, let's go. It's just like his vice president yesterday.
Are we going to see the same Democratic ticket in 2024?
I'm sorry. We are thinking about today. I mean, honestly, I know why you're asking the question, because this is the part of the punditry and the gossip around places like Washington, D.C. Let me just tell you something. We're focused on the things in front of us.
Plus, I don't know if I'm going to have a job tomorrow with this president.
Right.
I'm hearing rumors that I may be.
Her cackle was oddly silent.
It was, but there was a
question.
There's quite a pause there, though, for her answer.
Because she was seething. that was simmering. That's what we call that.
Okay. I mean, this is the gang that can't shoot straight at all. And then Biden got angry again yesterday.
One thing for certain, you get like every other major civil rights bill that came along, if we miss the first time, we can come back and try it a second time. We missed this time. We missed this time. And the state legislative bodies continue to change the law, not as to who can vote, but who gets to count the vote. Count the vote. Count the vote.
No, say it again.
It's about election subversion, not just whether or not people get to vote. Who counts the vote?
Now, that was an angry Joe, because he went up to the Hill yesterday to try to convince his colleagues to suspend the filibuster just until we can pass this civil rights bill. That's what they're calling it.
Oh, my word.
The voters' rights, because it's a civil right. Because we have to know who's counting the votes. Counting the votes.
Say it again.
Counting the votes.
There you go. Bernie Sanders was was kind of echoing Joe Biden. Did you see that?
No.
Why would you do that, Bernie? I mean, has senility finally kicked in all the way? The Democrats are on the wrong path and need to make a major course correction, mm-hmm. pivoting back towards the needs of working Americans, Bernie Sanders said. His criticism came as much of Biden's domestic agenda has stalled. It's important that we have the guts to take on the very powerful corporate interests that have unbelievably powerful hold on the economy of this country. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Socialist, socialist, rich people evil, except for me. He's not surprised Republicans are winning more support from the working class. He says it's not because the Republican Party has anything to say to them. It's because in too many ways the Democratic Party has turned its back on the working class. Well, now that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely true.
Does Bernie run again? Because he needs fifth summer home. You know, every time he runs and doesn't win, but he endorses the candidate, he gets a new summer home, you know, worth $1 billion.
So this is what Sanders said. Are you prepared to stand with struggling workers or working families all over this country? Do you have the guts to take on the money interest whose greed has caused such enormous pain?
He should know.
Which side are you on?
Yes.
So that seems to be the it kind of mirrored Biden.
Right. Sure.
You know, what side are you on? Well, yeah. I don't know why you would use that wording after all the beat up he received on the Wallace things and the
you know, Bernie blasting Big Pharma, and then he talks to his staff. He says, has Pfizer sent the check yet? I mean, it's these guys are such hypocrites.
What we have to do is create a renaissance, a resonance with the American people that demands Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema and everybody else, not to mention Republicans, start doing what the American people want rather than what wealthy campaign contributors or the big money interests want. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
The hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah.
It's just dripping.
Here's a little bit of her yesterday.
I share the concerns of civil rights advocates and others I've heard from in recent months about these state laws. I strongly support those efforts to contest these laws in court and to invest significant resources into these states to better organize and stop efforts to restrict access at the ballot box. And I strongly support and will continue to vote for legislative responses to address these state laws, including the Freedom to Vote Act.
Here comes a but.
And the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act that the Senate is currently considering. I support these bills because they strengthen Americans' access to the ballot box, and they better ensure that Americans' votes are counted fairly. It is through elections that Americans make their voices heard, select their representatives, and guide the future of our countries and our community. These bills help treat the symptoms of the disease, but they do not fully address the disease itself. And while I continue to support these bills, I will not support separate actions that worsen the underlying disease of division infecting our country.
And that's the filibuster. That's her stating that I'm not going
so
to support this.
So this is the girl that you guys think is so hot?
She's wearing a nice purple dress in this one, Jay. And she's going to go on
she
to say,
sounds like she's 100.
I can't. No, she's probably in her
Well, I know, but her voice sounds very old.
Yeah.
Interesting. All
well,
right.
Well, she's an old soul. She's saying, look, you know, the filibuster has helped us in the past, and it will continue to help us. Don't nix it. You can't do, it's like they're doing selective, you know, we're just going to lift it for this one bill, and then we're going to put it right back in place.
Got a text from Jay, says, Dems have totally forgotten the working people for the radical left, that's their problem. Yeah, they cater to the fringe.
Right.
Whatever fringy, victim-y kind of thing that they can do, that's what they do, and that's what they want to, you know, gear policy towards. The working people of this country have completely been forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the forgotten man.
By both sides, if we're being honest.
Yeah, really. I believe it, yeah. But, you know, I mean, she's one of the reasonable ones up there. We got Doug on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all this morning?
Good. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind, bro?
Well, you know what? You know what's going to happen this weekend with the snowstorm?
What?
Maybe the politicians will have to keep their hands in their own pockets.
I bet you Tim Kaine won't be heading out on 95. I bet you Tim Kaine won't be heading out to I-95.
I hope so. But Hey, you know, when they was doing the interview, or when Joe Biden was talking, I bet the one reporter leaned over to the other one and say, what the hell did he just say? You know what's amazing to me, though?
What?
These same dumb people are being voted in by the ignorant people that doesn't understand what that they're doing. And that's the reason why that we've got the amount of, and I'm going to throw this out there and make piss somebody off, excuse my language, make somebody mad, but that's the reason why that we've got all the situation in this country. At every place that there's a Democratic mayor, every place there's a Democratic governor, the state's destroyed. And why in the world the American people wouldn't go, you know what, putting these people into office, and by the way, I am going to go and say, as far as it goes about the Republicans that voted along for this bill, this last bill that went along, they're no more different than what they are. They should go and change their titles and be part of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway,
well, you know,
like I said all along, they're all part of the members of the Ku Klux Klan. That, and I don't know what y'all's thoughts is on that, but you know, when the Ku Klux Klan was started by Democrats, and the reason why they started it was to destroy anybody that went against them and tell me that's not what they do every day with Tim Scott and Winston Sears.
Oh, absolutely.
And Ben Carson and everybody else.
Yeah. Well, you know, the old definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And I think we need to start putting in more reasonable people.
People need to be educated. And, you know, I'd be willing to bet you, if you go back and look in history, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden was probably the ones that invented you drive on a parkway and park in a driveway. And that's how dumb they are.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Have a good weekend. Be safe out there.
When we come back, a senior citizen center in Tabor, South Dakota, had the most exciting senior card game that they had in quite some time.
This sounds interesting.
And we'll tell you why.
Okay. Libby Fitzgerald is going to be here, too. She's helping us with our Nonprofit Friday today. We're going to talk about those green meters. They're called Change for Change, caring meters giving back to Lynchburg organizations. Libby is going to be with us around 7:35.
You're listening to The Morning Jam, and it was an interesting card game in a South Dakota senior community center as a group of seniors, unknowns to them, were enjoying a batch of cannabis brownies that were brought to the party.
Wow.
Apparently, one of the card players in attendance, a 73-year-old woman, who apparently thought her adult son had baked brownies for her to take to her card game the next day.
No, just baked them for himself and some friends.
Yeah. Apparently they were baked with THC butter, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Well, I didn't either.
The incident happened in Tabor. It's a town of about 423 people.
Okay.
And police responded to several calls of a possible poisoning, but found that there were just a series of folks at the Tabor Senior Community Center that were under the influence playing cards. So the son did get arrested.
Okay.
He did admit to cooking the illicit goods with half a pound of THC butter.
Lordy.
Where the recreational cannabis is legal.
Yeah.
He then went to bed. His mother unknowingly took the brownies to the card game where several participants ate them. He was charged with possession of a controlled drug or substance, which is not legal in South Dakota.
How about that?
There were no injuries, thankfully.
Well, that's good.
They do say that that you have to be careful with edibles as they are significantly stronger than smoking.
Isn't that something?
I didn't know that.
I would have thought the other way around because, you know, when you're inhaling it into your lungs, that it would hit your system faster, but
they say
apparently
not. It's easy to accidentally ingest a paralyzing amount.
Goodness.
When consuming the very tasty treats that you can't really tell have anything in them. So, anyway, can you imagine?
Grandma thought she
was just taking a nice little treat to her friends.
Sure.
And it all went horribly wrong. That's not okay.
Of all the silly things I did growing up,
that wasn't one of them.
That wasn't one of them. I mean, I've made it pretty clear that I, let's just say I toked the weed when I was younger,
right?
And but never, you never imagined that
I'm a little bit country. You're a little bit rock and roll.
Yeah,
I never
this
did
is true.
That.
This is true.
Did that stuff. So I can't relate to that.
But I would have never imagined back in the 70s, you know, when I experimented with some drugs as a young man. That you would put it into a brownie. That someday there would be cannabis butter.
Because here's the thing. That,
I mean, jeez.
That's why it's dangerous. Because then you have kids that aren't going to know that that's what it is.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, that could be. And then this lady obviously had no idea
right.
what was going on with that.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of funny because nobody got hurt.
Right.
But still, it could be very dangerous, especially with, you know, older folks, depending on how many. If it was Kevin from The Office, he would have eaten far too many brownies.
Oh, gosh.
For sure.
Kevin. Oh, yeah. They would have had to carry him out. And he's a rather large man.
Yes, for sure. Now, we do have a guest coming in a little bit later on this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a couple of guests, actually.
Yep, we do.
We're going to be talking about those giving meters.
Yeah, we are. Libby Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be talking to us here in just a few minutes. Such a cool concept.
Yeah, so we look forward to talking about that. And then a little bit later on, Matt Ferguson, we're going to be talking to him.
Yeah, 8 o'clock hour. He's going to give us his take on the forecast.
Yeah, of which... It looks like we're definitely going to be getting more than an average snow for us in this area.
Yeah.
Lynchburg in the south side, we're looking at like maybe 8 inches to mm-hmm. 10 inches.
Right.
But they're calling for even more than that in Roanoke and the New River Valley area. So definitely quite a bit of snow headed our way. Now, we were talking about how to avoid having a heart attack because we start seeing a lot of those.
Oh, yeah, because people are lifting shovels full of snow to get them out of the way. You're not used to doing that on a regular basis.
Right.
That kind of lifting and the way that it, you know, just with your chest and everything. I lost a friend in his mid to late 40s doing that.
And that's...
Yeah.
And so that you wouldn't have expected that.
No,
there are six things you can do to help you prevent a heart attack while shoveling snow.
All right.
First of all, do not shovel first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Don't.
All right.
That's when most heart attacks occur.
Interesting.
It's when your blood is most likely to clot is in the morning.
Okay.
So you want to avoid that, first of all.
Okay.
You want to make sure you warm up before shoveling.
Sure.
Shoveling is not only exercise, but it's strenuous.
It's strenuous exercise.
Exercise.
Right.
They encourage you to use a smaller shovel. You know, a lot of those snow shovels are huge.
I think you're 20 inches wide and... 18 inches deep, and it, like I said, you when you pick up one of those puppies, it's heavy.
Right, and that last snow that we had was a super heavy snow
as
well.
Yeah, it was wet, yeah.
So they say use a smaller shovel.
Mm-hmm.
A shovel full of wet snow is especially heavy if the shovel is big.
Mm-hmm.
Dress appropriately. Make sure your hands are covered, your head, and your mouth.
Interesting.
Making sure your mouth is covered with a scarf will help you inhale warmer air. That can avoid respiratory issues.
Okay. And with the advent of masks the last 2 years.
Finally, that scarf that you got for Christmas, or those mini scarves that you got, are going to come in handy.
Come to place, yeah.
They also say to shovel in shifts. If you need to take a rest, take a rest. A 15-minute break can really lessen the load on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't, you don't have to get it all done and...
Absolutely.
Don't be angry with the snow.
Can I throw one more in there? I don't know if you're done with the list, but this happened just a year or so ago when 3 or 4 young people show up at the door willing to shovel your snow.
Right. Maybe you run by the ATM before you go home today.
20 or 25 bucks. It's worth every penny.
That's right.
It happened to us.
And you're encouraging entrepreneurship.
That's right. Yes, that's
which
a 1-2 punch.
Also important.
Yes, absolutely.
They say watch for warning signs, tightness in the chest, lightheadedness, dizziness are all signs of a heart attack.
Yeah, and shooting pain down the arm and all that.
And they say don't dismiss it.
Right.
Immediately call 911.
Right.
Do not dismiss it. So there you go.
That's a good list.
Just a few tips
here
and there. We also put a link on our Facebook page as to, you know, what to do to... get ready for the snow, how to build a little emergency pack for your car and for your home.
Yeah.
So that you're ready. I mean, emergencies do happen. You may not plan on getting out in your car, mm-hmm. but like if you have a medical emergency or right. something, things like that can happen. And I'll sure. bet you there's folks on I-95.
Oh Lord.
Wish they had a little emergency. They're living off a thing of mustard and ketchup from the Wendy's.
Well, the mustard right. will help with any cramps you get.
Right.
That's for sure. But yeah, you know, there was a story that I meant to do the other day, and I never got to it. Remember the Uber story we had last week of the young man?
Yes, the $600 bill for the Uber.
Well, yeah, but then there was the other Uber story where the guy called these this young lady's parents. She was in her teens, and she was in his Uber car, and he called the parents to let the parents know, I've got your daughter with me, she's safe, da-da-da-da-da. And he was praised for his sensitivity in covering that. He was offered a job. That story has another angle to it.
Oh, chivalry is not dead.
Yes. He was offered a job by a major driving service in Washington, D.C., where he's from.
Aww.
So his story went viral, and he was offered a huge job. So he's not just doing Uber anymore. He's actually got a professional driving job as a result.
It pays to go the extra mile.
It really does.
Kimberly McBroom is on the way. We'll have your stories for Roanoke, Lynchburg, and the South Side.
7:31 CBS News Brief is next. And as we said, we'll have Libby Fitzgerald. She's actually in the studio now. We're going to have her on in just a few minutes. It's the Morning Jam. Some more Friday funnies coming at you as well this day.
34 degrees now in Lynchburg, 34 in Bedford. We have 37 in Roanoke, 36 in Salem, and 37 in Danville.
Virginia Delegate Nick Freitas is on a mission to do away with the state-run liquor stores. He filed a bill this week that calls the Virginia Alcoholic Beverage Control Authority a relic of the past. It's time to go ahead and turn this into a private business and industry. And he wants to actually take all the real estate that they own. It looks like he wants to sell that to private business. A Republican who represents Madison, Orange, and other parts of Culpeper County said the agency, again, is a relic. Prohibition ended 90 years ago. He did this in a social media post, and there's no reason, absolutely, that the state should remain having a monopoly on selling alcohol. So we'll see what happens.
They're not going to give that money up. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. So this next story is out of Pennsylvania County. It's a tragic story. Two men were shot to death, left inside a burning home in Pennsylvania County. They have been identified. Firefighters found the two men inside a home in the 800 block of Old Mayfield Road after responding to a fire on December the 12th. The medical examiner has identified the man as 25-year-old Asomnio Garcia and 33-year-old Victor Garcia Mayarga, both from Mexico. Pennsylvania County Sheriff Mike Taylor says the cause of death was homicide. No arrests have been made at this point. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Pennsylvania County Sheriff's Office.
Dr. Harb on the line wanted to give us another possible tip as far as shoveling snow. Good morning.
Hey, Mark and Janet. Hey, yeah, if you have cardiac risk factors, and you're going to engage in some heavy work like shoveling snow, you might just take a baby aspirin, a half an hour to an hour before you do that. And that may help help prevent the type of clotting that can cause a heart attack in that kind of situation.
Okay. Very good.
Great advice.
Yep. We're going to see back injuries and the heart issues, I'm afraid, with this. So.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Thanks.
As always.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Have a good weekend. Be safe out there. We have here in the studio privilege to be talking to Libby Fitzgerald. She is part of the group of folks that put together Change for Change, carrying meters to give back to Lynchburg organizations. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. It's lovely to be here, and thanks for having me.
So give us a little backstory of how this thing all came about.
Well, my friend and partner in this, partner in crime, as we say, is Peggy Nolly. And she and her husband had taken a trip up to Prince Edward Island in Canada. Mm-hmm. And in Charlottetown, where they were visiting, they saw these look like parking meters painted bright green on the street. And they were curious about, and they asked, and they discovered that they were what was called carrying meters, and meaning that the change that was deposited in them was used by the city to give to agencies that are serving those in need in their community. And she was just struck by, wow, this would be, why wouldn't this work in Lynchburg? You know, this would be a terrific thing to bring back here. And so when she came home, she talked to me about it because I had had some experience working with the city, having done this Hill City Keys piano program, public pianos all throughout downtown. And so, you know, you sort of have to know how to navigate working with the city and the things that need to be done to get these things installed and on city property and all of that. So you need MOUs, memorandums of understanding. It's very technical. And so anyway, I've done a lot of that. And so I was able to help. And so two of us together put it all together. We found a company in Lexington that took these old meters from cities that had been used as parking meters, took them and repurposed them and decommissioned them and, you know, would sell them to be used for the sort of thing that we're using it for. So that's where we got them.
How nice that that was so local.
So close. That was easy. And so September of 2020 is when we finally, after getting all the city stuff done and getting the meters secured, got them installed. And so there are now 10 of them. There were 7 downtown. We had to wait for that 8th for the wonderful construction on Main Street downtown to be finished. Finally, it was, so that 8th one downtown is now in, or I should say the 7th one. And then there are 3 out in Boonesboro area.
Okay.
And 2 of them out in Boonesboro. And the 3rd one was on the Blackwater Creek Trail, but there's construction down there now on the sewer line. So that one was moved to Peaks View Park, for at least for the time being, and maybe permanently. So that's been a wonderful journey. And we've just done, a couple days ago, our 3rd distribution from the meters. First one was we gave the money to Interfaith Outreach. We pulled together a sort of a diverse little group, just 6 of us, to come up with ideas for where we might distribute this money, hopefully at the end of each quarter, and people from different parts of the community. So we tossed around ideas and finally come up with a decision. And a huge piece of this is not only we wait until we get $1,000 collected in all of those meters cumulatively. And then I approached in the very beginning businesses to ask if they would be interested in what we call being matching partners. And they can put in whatever they want. And cumulatively, they have put in an extra $3,000 each time. And I want to tell you who they are because we're so grateful to them. Bank of the James, NB Handy, Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation, Davidson, Doyle & Hilton, Truist, Cap Trust, University of Lynchburg, and Shule Home. So they're just, you know, they've been incredibly generous, and we're so grateful because that allows us to make a much bigger impact, obviously, with $4,000 than with our thousands. So, so anyway, first time Interfaith Outreach, they were being deluged with during COVID with requests for rent and utility assistance, and their budget was just stretched, you know, to farther than it could go. And the second time, the Red Truck Ministry, which actually I had not I had not known about it, and it's wonderful. It's this big red truck that travels through all the sort of food desert neighborhoods in the city. And it has a huge array of food. And then it also has a little refrigerator in it that people donate cows. And they get cut up into steaks and chops and things. And it's really wonderful. They also, there's clothes, the clothes closet. People can come get clothes. Well, they wanted to expand their reach into more neighborhoods. And so this helped them to do that, you know.
That's wonderful.
So this one we just did a couple days ago. We decided to to give it to One Community, One Voice. And there's a pastor, James Cam, who is the director of it. And they do lots and lots of wonderful programs. But the one in particular that they zeroed in on that they wanted to use this $4,000 check for was what's called BIKE. It's an acronym for believing in kids excelling. And it's an incentive, meant to be an incentive, particularly for at-risk kids in elementary schools in
the
city.
Is this the one that works with the local police departments? And
well, they do that. They have partnerships, yes, yeah, with the police and many other agencies in town, and they for coats, giving out coats, but many things. But this bike program, they basically are in four elementaries: Deerington, Heritage, Perrymont, and R.S. Payne. And again, they want to expand to more elementaries. Mm-hmm. They also want to extend it to kindergarten and first grade. It was just 2 through 5. But with COVID and the havoc it's wreaked on the schools and the irregularity of coming and right, going, a lot of kids have fallen behind, and particularly those little people.
So many.
You know, in the lower elementaries. And, you know, I know you know that if they say, if by third grade kids aren't reading
right
to level, they frequently are never successful later on academically. And that's a shame. So what they do is they have each quarter, they give 4 shiny new bikes to kids in those school, in those elementaries, and 4 students from each school are selected to receive a bike.
Nice.
16 bikes are awarded each quarter.
Oh, that's cool.
And during the pre-pandemic, the leaders in the community, such as the mayor and Commonwealth's attorney and all sorts of people, assemble at an awards ceremony at school, and city leaders present the bike and share these encouraging words with the students.
Cool.
So you can imagine how excited they would be that these very important people took time to come and give them this bike. You know, now during the pandemic, they had to be a little creative and wanted to continue encouraging kids to do their best. So they began home delivery of bikes.
Oh.
And so imagine a caravan of police vehicles, fire trucks, sheriff cars, and private citizens pulling up to a child's residence, and the kid walking out to learn that they were being presented with this new bike. They were selected,
would be quite the banner day.
And again, these important people have come from their busy day to do this, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's all about boosting student morale, self-esteem, sense of belonging, their pride, an incentive to succeed, you know? And so we just thought, wow, that's
it's really wonderful. So the bulk of these of these meters that people can look for are in downtown, but there are actually some outside of downtown.
Yes, there are. Let's see, 7 downtown, and there's one in front of the Virginian, one in front of the Academy, one in on the Bluff Walk, one at Community Market, one at on Main Street in front of the Galleria, down by Water Dog, down on Jefferson Street, and one the Love Sign at the beginning of Percival's Trail. So they're all, you can't miss them downtown. They're bright green. Uh-huh. The sign on it that we had done on the on each meter explains, you know, what happens to them, and it says put your spare change in this meter, and let me try to find the exact wording because I haven't been a while since I've read it. Put your spare change, I think, in this meter, and make a difference. The money collected will go to agencies helping those in need in our community.
Yeah.
So
and there's also one on Rivermont.
The ones in Boonesboro, yes. There's one in front of the shops on Rivermont, across from the post office, one in Boonesboro Shopping Center, sort of in the corner. And then this last one, as I said, was on the Woodland entrance to the Blackwater Creek Trail. But because of this sort of work down there, it's been moved to Peaksview Park.
Okay.
And
lots of opportunities for people to drop their spare change in there. And what a great thing to show your kids and grandkids to put some extra change in there when you're traveling. Let the kids do that.
That was one of the other things we saw it as a kind of a teaching opportunity for children.
Right.
That you could say, let's save our change and we'll put it in this meter and help the people who don't have all
excellent
that you have, you know.
Libby, thank you so much for bringing this into the community. It's such a fun way to draw attention to a really important issue throughout Lynchburg.
Thank you, because that's been our challenge, is to draw attention, make people aware so that they notice them and don't just think they're parking meters.
That's
right.
That's exactly right.
So I appreciate your, you know, helping to publicize that. So we're trying to get the word out there. Notice them. Bring your change. Apparently, people don't carry change much around anymore. Well, there's a QR code we put on them.
Oh, okay.
With the camera on your phone, you can put up to that, and you can contribute in that way. And since we're under the umbrella of the Lynchburg Community Foundation, and Bill Bodine, who's been wonderful to do this
for us, friend of the show,
it goes into their you know, into them, but under a special account of ours, and that way it's tax deductible.
Wonderful.
Too. So we're excellent. Very grateful to Bill Bodine and the foundation for that.
Well, we appreciate you coming in and letting us shed some light on the work that you're doing. Thank you, Libby Fitzgerald, for joining us this morning on the Morning Jam.
Thanks so much to you, both of you.
7:48. We have some Friday funnies we're going to get your way. And then some more news stories. Who knows what else might happen? Well, Matt Ferguson's going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
He's going to talk to us about the impending storm that's coming our way.
Snowmageddon.
It could really be Snowmageddon well, this time.
For us. Yeah.
For us in this area. We're so glad that you're with us here on this Friday.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Yep, I think it's adorable what so many Americans don't know about Canada. Did you guys know that we celebrate Thanksgiving on a different day? Did you know that? I was talking to a woman in the States that freaked when I told her. She's like, get out! Do you celebrate Christmas on a different day too? I'm not kidding. I said, yes, we do. In Canada, Jesus is a Gemini. You know, he's got a twin. He's a... All right, never mind. Let's move on. No. So funny, every time I tell people from America I'm from Canada, especially on stage, immediately, eh? How's it going, Harry? You're like, do I sound like I have an accent to you guys? I'll tell you, because if you think I do, I challenge you to get on a Greyhound bus, travel your country, see how many straight-talking English people you come across. Why don't you start in Minnesota? Oh, Minnesota, eh? We're going to have a fun tater tot time with this fellow, I'll tell you that much. Aren't we, Susan? Oh, you betcha, Betsy.
You betcha, Betsy.
We do have a lot of different accents, don't we?
We do, and it's funny how they came about, you know, like down in, you know, Cajun country because of the French.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it is interesting.
Well, but it's not unique just to America. I mean, you go into
right, yeah,
you go to England countries, yeah. And the different dialects,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just you don't even have to go that far,
right?
And you'll find them. Well, this is a bizarre story out of Ohio.
Okay,
this is probably going to show up on a podcast near you.
Oh, gee.
It was the perfect marriage. No, because you know how I am with the. The whole datelines and all that stuff.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This story is sad but bizarre. Akron, Ohio, when Barbara Renee Moore passed away, her daughter Tara, who had no experience planning funerals, was left to make the arrangements.
Okay.
She recalled an earlier conversation with a minister named Shante Harden.
Okay.
Who she trusted, in spite of knowing others had red flags about his practices, she asked him to take care of her mother's arrangements. Mm-hmm. Now, I had people tell me to be careful because there had been others who had worked with him and they weren't pleased, but you don't have a lot of money to work with if you haven't made preparations. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. very expensive and you don't really know what to do.
Right.
She said that Harden made funerals affordable for those who didn't have the money or the resources.
Right.
So when he comes to you and says you can have the very same thing at half the price, if it saves you from setting up GoFundMe pages, selling right. dinners, and falling out with family about money, it was just more feasible.
Mm-hmm.
She said they had a service at the small church. Immediately afterwards, there were concerns. No return calls, no messages, no apologies, man. Nothing.
Yeah.
It took them months to get back their mother's cremated remains.
Oh, brother.
Because red flags were going off, people were second-guessing, questioning, especially the financial end. It mm-hmm. really put a wedge in the family. Some of us are barely speaking.
Wow.
Just the relationship between family members isn't there anymore because of Harden. Mm. Apparently, now the minister has been arrested on multiple charges following their discovery of multiple human cremains stored at a business in Columbus.
Oh, Jeez, I hope they were tagged.
He's facing more than 40 different charges, including abuse of a corpse, representing himself as a funeral director, mm-hmm. not unlicensed, he's not licensed, mm-hmm. identity fraud, and theft. He's pled not guilty.
Of course.
Hardin's attorney said that his client never portrayed himself as a funeral director and was simply trying to provide a service.
Mm.
As we understand the laws of Ohio, he doesn't have to be licensed.
Right.
Really?
Huh.
You don't have to be licensed?
That makes no sense.
He's performing these services as a minister in his church.
Right.
There are special exemptions for rabbis or leaders in the Muslim community to perform those services. Amish are big users of those services.
Hmm. Okay.
Guys, you need to know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
This is not the first we've heard of things like this.
Right.
You know, we've heard these stories before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows if they even have the right remains, or anything. They never got their documents. They don't have a death certificate.
Yeah.
They don't even know if the urn is their mom. Some of us are just getting to the point to where we could talk about her and not cry. Now all this is reopened. I don't know. That is a weird story coming out of Ohio. Weird. What? It's inappropriate, I can tell by looking at your face, so don't say it. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know where you're going. What?
I just got to self-edit.
Okay, self-edit. I don't know what it is that you're thinking, but it's not going to be good, I can tell.
Remains to be seen if I can do this.
Is that it? The pun? No, the pun that got you?
No. All that right. That was one I felt like I could get away with.
Mm.
Oh, gosh.
You want to know what my favorite headline is today? Randy's going, say it. Say it. Do it. You are the devil on his shoulder. You do not need to be weighing in on this, sir.
No.
You do not.
No. Actually, on a much more serious note, we do have some exciting news that we'll have in the next week or so of a sponsor. Because my wife and I just went through this. We shopped three local funeral homes. And we picked the one that we felt like met our needs the best. And they're going to become one of our sponsors.
It is important.
It really is.
Because you need to know who's taking care of your loved one.
Absolutely.
It can be an extremely stressful financially, mentally, emotionally, everything. And when you have people like this preying on people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like at the worst possible time.
It's one of the biggest
serious?
Gifts
gonna,
you can give your children
kids, yes,
is to make sure
absolutely.
That they don't have to try to figure all that out.
Yeah, yeah. It's just...
So, that is true. Mm. Coming up in our next hour, we've got some local headlines for you for Lynchburg, Roanoke, and the South Side. Also, apparently, one of those victims of that CNN producer, John Griffin, is having to be moved to a protected environment.
Really? Because of death threats or something?
We'll tell you why.
Oh, no. You've got to be kidding
me. As if they haven't suffered enough.